RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
I want to welcome back to RCR onto the program Erin Hudson, medical herbalist based in Auckland and involved with the study of patients' therapeutic use of cannabis in New Zealand with Victoria University. So Erin returns to the program discussing patients' experience using cannabis therapeutically in New Zealand and the Cannaposium in August. While back in July, she was with us discussing, and that was fascinating, the history and status of naturopathic medicine in New Zealand. Erin is back. Hi, Erin. Good morning.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me back.
Those stats that we were talking about on the prescribing of medicinal cannabis gone up in, I think, 3 years from about 20,000 to 108,000. Were those stats, and there were more detail in those statistics than just that, but that was the overarching figure. Any surprises there to you?
No surprises to me. In fact, Dr. Marta Reichert, who spoke at our Cannaposium in September, she brought up an incredible array of stats that she had got through OIAs to show that the biggest prescribing changes was in high THC flower going out to the general populace. So although that was probably the very thing that people like, or some people didn't want to have happen, actually, that's the very thing that has happened. So there's a huge demand for good quality, I guess safe, in as much as it's from the MedSafe, not from the local
manner of things sprayed on it. Yeah,
exactly. However, you know, the flower itself, which is so popular, also has its detriments with the fact that it's been irradiated before it's come back to New Zealand for access.
So when you say flower, what do you mean flower?
Flower is probably the most correct term for the bud or for
the
flower part of the cannabis plant, which has got the most medicinal value in it. So
That the bit that gets you high? Sorry to keep jumping in, but isn't that the part that gets you high?
Well, it depends a lot on the flower itself. There can be some flowers which are so high in CBD and so low in THC that there's no high involved whatsoever. So a patient accessing that type of flower is looking for relaxation without any psychoactivity, and it might well be because they've got anxiety. And so any THC on top of that would actually make it worse. Whereas, in fact, having a CBD-dominant flower can provide them with a lot of relaxation, good sleep, no anxiety, without that concern or fear about getting high.
So it's a seismic shift in prescribing and medicating, by the sounds of things.
Well, it is. And I think probably there are a lot of GPs who didn't expect that they would find themselves in the position of prescribing, you know, grams and grams and grams of cannabis flower to patients. And I think, to be fair, some of these patients may well have accessed flower in the community for years, for decades. And so they're coming in to get their legal prescription. And then in many ways, they'll continue accessing their illegal product, but they have that script to say that they have got an endorsement from their GP to access cannabis medicine.
The folk that want to keep it really clinical don't like the THC bit, do they?
They don't understand the THC part, I think, Paul. And many people will say to me, I'd like to have some help in my pain, but I don't want to get high. That's very, very common. In fact, Dr. Graham Gulbranson in Sandringham, he often reports that people will say, I don't need or want to get high. But that's quite different to someone who actually has neurological pain or literally can't get off to sleep at night, because that recommendation would be a very subtle and a very dose-dependent THC product, which would allow them to get to sleep. It would reduce their pain. And because they're going off to bed anyway, any psychoactivity is throughout their sleeping time. So there's many ways to arrange the THC component for the people who are nervous or the people who don't understand that sometimes a little bit of THC in the right place is a very appropriate prescription.
I've banged on about it relentlessly, and I'll mention it one more time. The reason I sort of pick up on that is because when I was medicating myself, getting off the real bad drugs, pain-killing drugs, cancer time, a decade ago, I found that the use of the THC part was actually part of dealing with the pain, because it puts you in a certain mindset. And I don't think that can be ignored, even though if people want to ignore it.
Well, that's correct. And sometimes people will say the pain's still there, but it's not bothering me. So whether that's because they're high and they're sort of looking at things differently, or whether it's because they are just not sure about what it is that they're accessing through that product.
Okay, you've got some information in front of you, you told me before we started chatting. Is that worth bringing up now?
Well, this is a great study that was done last year with Dr. Fiona Hutton, who's a criminologist down in Victoria University. It was also Jeff Noller, who's from Otago University, and Alice McSherry, who's from Auckland University. So that's three pretty impressive universities who were providing support for our research project. The title of the research project was Patients' Experiences of Therapeutic Cannabis Consumption in New Zealand. So often patients will say that their GP has said that there is no research available on whether cannabis is helpful or not. So we thought, well, let's ask all the patients who are in the cannabis community and find out from them whether or not they felt it was useful. And so there were about 22, 23 interviews done from a range of people who had been involved in the study. And across the board, very similar to what you've just said, Paul, is that most of them found the real benefit was they could come off their pharmaceutical medications. Now, it's not that we don't want people on pharmaceutical medications. If it's required, it's required. But someone who's taking a huge amount of tramadol, that's not a doable thing much longer. Exactly. So you're taking the tramadol, you're getting the pain relief, but goodness knows what's happening to your intestinal area, because you can get quite a lot of effect and people find that their digestion changes, they don't get the full effects from the tramadol after long-term use. So for that patient to be able to approach something which may or may not have a THC component to it, literally means that they can move on from those poor digestive habits, they can get their appetite back, they can feel back in control. We talk about being back in the driver's seat. You know, there's nothing worse than being the backseat driver to your health exactly. And someone telling you what to do. Whereas if you're in the seat, you're choosing what cannabis to take. You may also choose a tramadol at times, you know, if that's really appropriate for that occasion. But in the main, people can very easily transfer over. And this is what the study showed us. They were so relieved to move on from their pharmaceuticals with a really positive way that they could manage their pain. So it wasn't like they were going to go cold turkey and just be in agony. They literally transferred over really, really comfortably and were so delighted with that.
Well, I found it took about 4 hours. That's no time at all, man. Four hours to feel so much better. What about the arguments that this all needs to be, you know, the benchmark of clinical evidence needs to be reached, just like the pharma drugs, though they reach benchmarks, but a lot of them don't work still. So that's another conversation. As a sort of like a block to having this like a full mainstream therapeutic available, like anything else in the health system. Is it possible to do that? That would be very expensive, and it would work against pharma business models. I'm thinking, isn't the body of anecdotal, it's so huge that really that's the test now, isn't it? We don't need to go further than that, do we?
Well, let's think about anecdotal before we had scientific research. You know, anecdotal was how people decided not to eat that herb because that'll kill you. Let's eat this one in our meal because it'll help our digestion. So for decades, millennium, people have used anecdotal information to make their health choices. Excuse me. So we look at the pharmaceutical model of random, controlled, you know, double blind and all the rest of it. That's their model. Let them use their model. And anecdotal is herbal models, is a naturopathic model, is a practitioner who's really to look at before, during and after, instead of just using scientific research which is sold, bought and supplied on the research circuit, if you like, and it's all bought and paid for. So anecdotal is a very, very good model. It's been used for centuries as well. And we have this anecdotal model, particularly in this study, to actually bring out the voice of the patient, because we often don't hear from them.
Yeah. So is it time now to have this funded like any other medication? Like, what's the fee at the moment? $5 per prescription, something like that. Maybe it's gone up, but it really, otherwise it's quite expensive, isn't it?
It can be expensive, and we're talking about MedSafe, so there's, you know, the price involved with everything goes on with MedSafe. However, more and more people are looking into the legacy market, which is accessing the product very similar to MedSafe, all tested just like MedSafe, and having a model that they can access easily, they can have good support around, and not have to buy into the large pharmaceutical model that's available to New Zealand patients. And just going back to that legacy market, there's a huge amount of people in New Zealand who supply other people in New Zealand with cannabis products, and I'm talking huge. Now, sure, some of the market's gummies, and some of the market's balms, and some of the market is perhaps recreational use, but there is also a large amount of people who, from the bottom of their heart, are providing cannabis medicine to their community, and it's those people that we'd love to reach as well, to let them know if MedSafe has all of their tests and everything and their results, you know, around their migs per mils, that's great. Why can't in the legacy market the same thing happen? So we really encourage anyone who's a green fairy or a supplier of legacy products to the community to get their products tested. You know, it's just rude to pass something over that you have no idea what's in it, particularly if it's a vulnerable elderly person or a vulnerable young person and all the ones in between. So we'd really like to encourage that there's two models, if you like. One's invisible and one's very visible, but that doesn't mean that both of them don't have a place to play, particularly when it comes down to cost.
Yeah, we had, Katie Thomas on earlier in the week, whose young son was having all sorts of problems with seizures, et cetera. And her doctor, Wasim, he was on here as well. She went to see him, and he gave the appropriate CBD medication. I think that's what it's called. And she said it was a miracle. Like a miracle. I've heard that before. I've seen videos of people with Parkinson's take it, and the shakes have stopped, if you believe the video, within minutes. A miracle. How can you ignore that?
Well, I guess that whole THC part comes in. You know, like, how could a person with Parkinson's have no tremor and be slightly, slightly high? Like, that's terrible. Well, maybe being slightly high and having no tremors allows that person to get on with all the tasks that they need to do that day. So, yeah, it's very weird that we've got this idea that people who take medication may or may not have some pleasure from taking that medication. And yet we know that opiates across the board, you know, part of that is that people get addicted to that pleasure pathway of relieving their stress and relieving their cares and their worries.
In my experience, I won't tell you how deep and long that is, it's not addictive.
Well, certainly if your product dries up tomorrow and the guy that you meet at the Countdown car park is no longer supplying product, there is no withdrawal apart from missing that sleep or missing that pain relief. So there's no withdrawal effects, there's no cold turkey, there's a little bit of grumpiness if people aren't sleeping, but you're correct. There's no concern about what happens if the products stop, because there's no chance of having any sort of discomfort from that.
This could be the biggest medicator of pain in our experience, really. Forget everything else. This really seems to be, well, for some, it's a silver bullet, Erin.
Well, for some very old people, let's say, you know, in their 80s, being on the medications that they are on for pain relief and for sleep, they're horrific medications. Zopiclone, you know, given to people who are very elderly, Zopiclone, it just wipes them out for the next day. So having a product with no THC in it whatsoever for pain relief management through the day allows them to get their lives back again. So it's a no-brainer that you wouldn't offer that elderly person something that's going to provide them with not only pain relief, Paul, but the flip side of CBD is actually it relieves overwhelm, anxiety, and stress.
Right.
And quite commonly, going back to Katie, quite commonly when there's a young child or an older parent who's being looked after by someone else, there's a huge amount of stress for that person. So once we sort of talk about the child or the elderly person, we also have a conversation about the carer. you know, you must be overwhelmed and stressed and all the rest of it as well. And so providing them the chance to think about themselves if they're the main carer is a really important part of it. And so CBD fits in there beautifully because you don't need THC for that. You just need to have something for the overwhelm involved with managing that other person's high risk, you know, health needs.
One of the other arguments against the prescribing of it is that people might turn up and use that as an easy route to obtain recreational cannabis, but that would be hardly any, wouldn't it?
Well, I have heard people going for scripts and getting their scripts and then on selling it.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's,
yeah.
You know, like how did that work out? How did they get around that system? So that's kind of the MedSafe system and the prescribing system itself. But I don't think that people saw that coming, that someone would access a website, tick off as many as they wanted, purchase that within their rights, and then actually on sell it to vulnerable people in the community who wouldn't be aware that they could actually access through their GP themselves.
At least they're getting quality, Erin.
Well, that's a bit of an argument there because there will be growers in New Zealand who have way better quality with terpenes, with cannabinoids, and all of this comes through in our test results. And then you have the flower that comes through MedSafe, which, as I said, it's gone to Australia, been irradiated, which means a lot of that terpene profile has been burnt to a crisp.
So, sorry, can I ask you, why is it irradiated?
Oh, germs, bugs, and anything that could be in it. You know,
okay.
We're very irradiated, you know, friendly in New Zealand, aren't we?
We wanted to do food once, or do we do food? I remember that from ages ago.
Yeah. So okay. It's just about having a clean product coming back into New Zealand. So it's a shame, but that's actually what the regulations are at the moment for that product to come back in safely.
Okay. So it's mainstream. Safe to say it's now mainstream, right?
Yes, it is
now.
Yeah, yep. It's not unusual now to be at a barbecue or a social event and have someone discuss their CBD use or even their THC use if that's been appropriate for them. In fact, I think sometimes you can have two or three conversations in a week, and that's me without even bringing it up, of people just sharing their experiences about use.
Erin Hudson, medical herbalist. Nice to have you back, Erin. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Many thanks, Paul.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.